to Hebrews chapter 12. As we mentioned this morning, the theme of the conference yesterday and the theme for Brother Hugin's church really for the entire year is consider Christ. And he had Hebrews chapter 12, 3 on the bulletins and also on the board at church and in various places to constrain his people to be considering and to be focused on this verse and also certainly upon Jesus Christ. And so we return to that groundwork or that thought this evening, keeping in mind those things that we studied upon this morning. And notice with me here, we'll read the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. For consider him, for he is worthy of our consideration, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls, our sacrifice for sin, the one that paid the debt that we never could pay. He's glorious, he's beautiful, he's righteous, he is holy. Yea, as the Song of Solomon says, he is altogether lovely, as he is described there. We know that he is. He's altogether good, he's altogether praiseworthy, that Jesus Christ is worthy of consideration is very plain and obvious from the scriptures. This Jesus that descended from on high to take on the form of a servant, as Philippians 2 tells us. This Jesus that came to be born of a virgin and live upon this sin-cursed earth among men, let us consider him who has endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself. What does that mean? Contradiction of sinners against himself. First of all, of course, it means that he dwelt among sin, being a contradiction to everything that he was. It means also that he dwelt upon this earth, a contradiction, if you will, from the place where he had abode before, his home in heaven in glory. Contradiction in that he was in the form of man and in the form of sinners in the form of depraved flesh, but had no sin or ability to sin in him. Contradiction of sinners in that he lived a perfect, sinless life, only to have God, of course, by his plan and his purpose, place all of our sin upon him and to have him be made sin for us. He is altogether lovely. He is altogether worthy. He is altogether deserving of our consideration. This morning we preached on the subject of consider Christ considering us, which highlighted the fact that Jesus Christ is fixated upon his people. Don't think for a minute that there has ever been any remorse, any regret, any bad feeling in Jesus Christ about what he did for you as he came to this earth and died upon the cross. Don't think for a minute that there's a regret. Even when we sin, even when we fall short, even when we do that which is against him, he already has taken that sin upon himself. That was the totality of our sin. He knew about it all along. So don't think for a minute that even at that time that Jesus is sitting up in heaven saying, man, I really shouldn't have done that. He loves us and he's fixated upon us. And as he sits at the right hand of God right now, you know what he is doing? He is making intercession for us every single day. Father, he's one of ours. Father, he's covered by my blood. Father, show mercy. Father, show grace. Be long-suffering. Father, I've covered his sins with my blood. He intercedes. Even as Moses interceded on the behalf of the children of Israel more than once, saying, Father, don't destroy them. Don't destroy them, but make a nation out of them. And he did. Christ is at the right hand of the Father now, not saying, oh man, zap that one, I shouldn't have paid for their sins, some bad or some, you know, some evil to them. No. Jesus Christ is altogether lovely because He loves us. And He asphyxiated even now upon us. Not just when He was here upon the earth praying to the Father upon the cross, but even now. Now He is considering us and our infirmities. He is considering us and our needs. He is considering us even when we sin. Oh, what a joyous thing that Jesus Christ asphyxiated upon His people. He did so upon the cross as He saw His seed. He did so, of course, before the Lord in His praying. But the question before us tonight, for each of us to ponder, for each of us to answer as an individual and as a church, is this. Seeing then that we have such a great high priest, which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, one that would consider us, one that would give so much for us, one that would continually do so much for us, do we return that consideration? Do we return that consideration? Christ asphyxiated, beholding, focusing, meditating, thinking, and considering us every hour of every day. Are we returning that consideration? The thought for tonight is Christ's unrequited consideration. The word unrequited pretty much just means unreturned, unfulfilled. It is when you love and aren't loved in return, when you bless and aren't blessed in return, when you extend yourself and it is not extended back. Jesus Christ has shown great consideration to us. And it ought to cause us to be zealous, to be on fire for showing consideration for Him. But sadly in my life, I know it is true, and I believe that in the lives of God's people, as we have considered and thought about this, that it is also true that many times His consideration of me is unreturned. His consideration of His people, of us, of you here tonight, is unreturned, is not reciprocated, is not brought forth back unto Him. Now, He doesn't do it for us just to be repaid. He doesn't do it for us that we might make it up and that we might in some way pay Him for it. But His doing it for us, His consideration for us, ought to ignite a passion within us to show consideration for Christ. How much consideration do you show for Jesus Christ? Turn over with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 30. When you begin to think about this topic of the unrequited consideration of Christ, to get to the bottom of it, you have to ask yourself, well, how do we show consideration? And you might begin to get a little bit overwhelmed with the topic, I suppose, but if you make it a little easier and think about your relationship with your husband or your wife, how do you show consideration? How do you show consideration? How do you prove, or how do you show that you love, that you admire, that you care for, that you're focused on, that you want to do good for whomever it is, your husband or your wife? How do you do that? You do that through your actions, through your attitude, through your desires, through your emotions. Well, we see here in Mark chapter 12 that that is how we show consideration for Christ. Mark chapter 12, the question posed to Christ was, which is the greatest commandment? And here in verse number 30, Jesus Christ answered, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. How do we show consideration for Christ? We do it with our body, we do it with our soul, we do it with our spirit, or as he calls it here, we do it with our mind, we do it with our soul, we do it with our heart. We give of our strength. This encompasses everything that we are, everything that we can be, everything that we experience as human beings on a daily basis are wrapped up in these things. He's saying, give of your heart, give of your mind, give of your soul or your spirit, give of your strength to show consideration to Christ. Let us examine our lives tonight. Do we return? Do we requite the Lord for His consideration of us? Oh, how it ought to break our hearts when we do not. Consider three things about returning or considering Jesus Christ. In showing consideration for Christ, or in other words, living our lives in a considerate manner towards Him. Not just being polite, that the word considerate we're taking much further and deeper than just polite. Not just saying please and thank you or opening the door, but we're taking it again to understand focusing upon, to pattern our lives after, to be thinking of and meditating on, to be addicted to. That's how they became known as Christians in Antioch. They were considering Christ. The entirety of our being needs to be wrapped up in Christ, and that takes devotion. That takes devotion. First of all, tonight, to be considerate of Christ, we must give of our devotion. Body, soul, and strength, mind, heart, as he talks about here, soul, all of this, we need to be given our devotion unto Jesus Christ. We need to be zealous and affection for, that's what devotion means. Zealous and affection for Christ. We need to be zealous in affection for Christ. And that includes being zealous in affection for His Word. For His Word. We said this morning that this book is a love letter. It's a gift that Christ has given in consideration that we've got some needs in this life. That we've got some things that we need to get sorted out, some directions we need to take, some answers that we need to find, some map we need to follow. He says, here it is, here's my word. This is my love gift for you. Now, if you give somebody a gift, and husbands may have experienced this, you give your wife a gift, and then she ignores it. You know, she doesn't do anything with it, or vice versa. Don't ever do anything with it. Do you think that they really cared or loved or admired that thing? Do you think that they really loved you for giving them? No. To show consideration for Christ, we cannot ignore His Word. For far too long, we have been too casual. We touched on that last Sunday evening. We cannot be too casual with sin or with the Word of God. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. We need to hide it away in our hearts that we might not sin against Him, as Psalm 119 says. Reading this book is considering Christ. The activity, the hiding it away of our hearts is considering Christ. It is pointing everything that we are, everything that we have towards Jesus Christ as we read and are soaked over or washed over by the Word. Let us not trivialize this book that we have. Let us not trivialize, thus saith the Lord, and think that it is just a bunch of restrictions and regulations and the ways that God doesn't want us to have any fun. No. It's Christ in love showing consideration for His people, saying, if I don't tell you what is right and if I don't tell you what is wrong, how are you going to know? What is also true, if we don't read, and if we don't study, and if we don't give ourselves to, we also won't know. And so He has given us His Word to show consideration for Christ, as He even prayed there, as we noticed this morning. Show consideration to Christ, even as He delivered His Word to us. Let us read it. Let us meditate upon it. Let us learn it. Let us be convicted of it. Let us stand by it always and not compromise. His Word. is given to us, let us be devoted to the Word of God. Not just our preference, but our strong conviction. We need to be reminded of the difference. A preference is something that you like. Something that you'd rather have if possible. The way that a person prefers steak over chicken. You prefer it. That's what you want if you have the choice. But if you don't have the choice, chicken will do. And so sometimes you'll eat it. A conviction is different. A conviction is saying, this is the only thing I will ever accept on this subject. We stand that way on the Word of God, don't we? We say, this Bible, the King James, the Word of God, is the only book I will ever accept as the Word of God. That's a conviction that we are not to alter from. And we need to consider Him in the Word. We need to consider Him in our convictions. But also, when we think of our devotion, we need to consider Him and His will for our lives. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Not just in the big decisions of life. Not just in the, should I marry this person or not? Should I take this job or not? Should I go in this direction or not? But in the moment to moment, every day of our life, living in the middle or the center of His will for us, we need to be concerned and show consideration to Christ, because His will for our life is revealed in this book. It's revealed by the Spirit. Are we considering that? Are we living our lives considering that? Or are we saying, no, thank you? Are we saying, yes, you've given me that direction. Yes, you've laid out that will. Yes, you have done this for me, but I don't care. I'll do what I want. I'll go my way. Oh, that the people of God, oh, that we at this church tonight, oh, that I and my family would not do that. But that we would be taken with the will of God. We would be devoted. We would be devoted to understanding it for our lives and living it out every single day so that we might have that joy of Christ that was mentioned this morning. But as we consider our devotion, not only to His Word and His will, but look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we need to be devoted to His body. We need to be devoted to the body of Christ. This is where God has placed us. This is where He has called us to serve. This is the a place where He has added us as a member of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse number 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Oh, we have been placed. We have been given a great opportunity to be part of something that is special, part of something that is unique, part of something that is beautiful, as Christ has described her to be. We have an opportunity that surpasses the greatest in this life. We have an opportunity that the world and that religion just simply does not understand and will not get. Christ has died. Acts 20 and 28 says that He shed His blood for the church. He purchased it by His own blood. It isn't something that we do casually. It isn't something that we do with just a mild interest. But we need to be fully devoted, or again, giving our zealous affection unto His body. Do we consider Christ as our attitudes and our actions will reflect as far as church is concerned? Our devotion can clearly be seen by our actions and attitude toward His body. Toward that place where we have been put. And it is a glorious thing. The world can't see it and won't be able to. But what saddens me is that many of God's people do not see it either. And that's a problem. If we have been placed in the body, we ought to be able to see the beauty that Christ has placed within her. We ought to be able to see the beauty of being His body in this place. Be devoted to her in all ways. Are we devoted with our hearts, souls, and minds? Or the way the Lord led me to ask this question in my own thoughts, are we just filling a pew or a pulpit? Are we truly devoted to what's going on right here and right now in this place? Or are we just taking up space? Are we just getting along and trying to bide our time until it's all over? Oh, how we need to be ignited in our passion and our love for Christ, in His Word, in His will, in His body, to truly consider Him with everything that we do in this world. That ought to be the first thought in our mind. You know, that what would Jesus do for many years has been going around, and it's been overmarketed and overused and taken probably in wrong directions, but the core thought. Not just what Jesus would do, but think what Jesus has done for me. Consider that. What Jesus is doing for me, and yet what Jesus will do in the future. Think about that. Do you consider Christ? Our devotion certainly speaks. Our attitudes, our actions reflect where our lives are and if we are considering Christ. So many times it is unrequited in our devotion. Secondly, tonight, not only when we consider Christ's unrequited consideration do we think about our devotion and giving of our devotion, but we ought to also think about or consider giving of our time. The giving of our time. One of the most valuable commodities that we have is time. Have you ever thought about this? No one is rich and no one is poor when it comes to time. Now money, some people are rich and some people are poor. And that means that, you know, some people have advantages, some have disadvantages, and I'll let you sort out which lie where. But we're not all the same. We're not all the same when it comes to money. We're not all the same when it comes to talents and abilities and skills. God has made each one of us unique and different and placed us in different places and all of that. But time is the great equalizer among God's people. We all have the same amount of it. No one is rich and no one is poor. No one is. No one can say, I have less time than they do, for we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And because of this, use of our time is perhaps the best metric to see where our devotion is, to see how we are considering Jesus Christ. It is probably the best metric. I mean, when you look at balance sheets and say, well, brother so-and-so gives, you know, $10,000 a year to the church. Well, what does that mean? I don't know what it means. You look and say, well, Sister so-and-so, she only gives $500. What does that mean? I don't know. Without some context, I don't know. That may mean that one is doing a better job than the other, or whatever the case is, or one isn't. I don't know. But when you see them in the pew every Sunday, when you see them giving of their time, when they're giving of their that precious resource that God has given us, you can see. You can see what's important. What's important to God's people. And oh, how we need to consider Christ by considering how we use the time that He has given to us. Think about it. How do we spend our time on the Lord's day? This day is given to us as a gift. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 27 says, And He said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. We studied that a couple years ago when going through the life of Christ when He said that. And the point was that God has given us the Lord's Day as a special gift. He has made it for us. He's made it for us. And we are to cease from our labors. We are to pause from those things that we normally do and those things that we normally partake in, those things that we normally pursue. Whether it be work or recreation or things that we normally do from Monday unto Saturday, those things we are to cease from, we are to rest from, and seek the Lord and worship on His day. resting our bodies from the weariness of life, or using that time to focus, consider, and meditate upon Jesus Christ in some way. Not chasing the things of the world, not looking to make another dollar, not recreating and going places that we don't have time to go the rest of the week. If you want to do that, make time Monday through Saturday. Not on the Lord's Day, it's not the time. But understand that how we use our time on the Lord's Day shows how we consider Christ. And if we dishonor the Lord's Day with how we spend our time, of course we're guilty of sin and must confess that to God. But understand that you are being inconsiderate to Jesus Christ. Everything that He's done for you, everything that He has delivered for you, everything that He is going to do for you, you are being inconsiderate of the One that had you upon His mind as He hung there upon the cross, bleeding, as He hung there upon the cross with His bones broken and His face so beaten that He couldn't be recognized. All the while, He was considering you. He was considering me. And here, we don't even take the effort consider Him in our time and how we spend it on the Lord's Day. What about our time in the Lord's house? Our time in the Lord's house. Considering Christ means that we consider our coming into the Lord's house a top priority in our life. Not just simply something that we do if there's time, or that we do most of the time, or that we do almost all of the time, but it is an important thing that we do all of the time, every time, that we show that consideration to Jesus Christ. And it's not just about filling a pew. We've already covered that. Now, being considerate of Jesus Christ, considering Him who has considered us, means being early. Sometimes we have a problem with that. We do. It's as if we start church at a different time each week for some reason, and we just don't make it. It means being on time. It means being early. If you want to fellowship with God and the people of God, show up before church starts. Come to the Lord's house ready. Don't drag yourself in at the last minute and expect God to bless. Don't drag yourself in at the last minute and say that I'm here, I filled my requirement. Do you think that's considerate of Christ? Do you think that is showing a fixation upon? Do you think that is showing some focusing or meditation upon? No, when we consider this, I mean, He was hanging on the cross considering us. He was in the garden about to be taken and beaten. And He was on a thought process that included me, that thought about me, that made preparations for me in my life. Oh, I had, at the very least, better be able to show up early unto the Lord's house, ready to worship. That's the second thing. Ready to give. Don't tell me that if you drag yourself in at the last minute, having been tired because you didn't go to bed, or because you've been rushed around, or whatever the other case may be, and you're not ready to worship, don't tell me that's considering Christ. It's not. I'm guilty of these things too. I am. But it's not considering Christ. If you haven't prayed, if you haven't read your Bible, if you haven't prepared for worship in some measure, don't tell me you're considering Christ. Don't tell me I'm considering Christ as I come into the Lord's house. In fact, sometimes when we come into this place and this assembly, Christ is the last thing on our mind. He is. The last thing. The very last thing. We need to be ready. We need to be focused in heart and mind and soul on the worship of the Lord. And I know it's easy to get comfortable and in routines. I'm looking at people that have been coming to the same church for decades, for the most part, and longer. I know that. It's easy to get in routines. It's easy to get set. It's easy to say, well, we've always done this, so we're always going to do that. Shake it up. Think about something else. Focus your heart and mind on Christ. Get into a routine and a habit of coming early, of fellowshipping, of talking to the Lord, of sitting down and stilling yourself in the house of God before you sing and offer praise to His name. Really, we need to be considerate of the Lord as we come into His house. You know, when you go to somebody else's house or you go to your job, you know, because your mother taught you well, that if you're late, you're being inconsiderate of the person that invited you. Right? I mean, or if you show up or let's say instead you invite people over and they get there and say, well, I got to go take a shower, I got to get cleaned up. I mean, you're being inconsiderate of those that you've invited. We know that. We understand that. But when it comes to the Lord's house, it's almost as if we're saying, that man, that God man that hung upon the cross and died for me and thought about me and cared for me is lucky that I'm here today. He's blessed. Oh, I could have stayed home. I could have done many other things. He's blessed. It's considerate. It's considerate. Now I won't dwell on this point because I don't want to point fingers at a man, but you show consideration to your pastor too. When you show up early or on time, you show consideration to your Sunday school teachers, to your song leader. You show consideration to those that are giving an effort in the service of the Lord and have been preparing more than just on Sunday morning, putting thoughts together for Sunday school lessons, thinking about songs to sing or messages to preach. It shows consideration all the way around, but that's not the focus of our thought tonight. And then, as we consider our time, we also need to think about being considerate of Christ through the act of service. How we serve Him in this world. Oh, that more children of God would consider Christ when they left the house in the morning, when they got dressed in the morning, what they put on their bodies, what they listened to in the car as they drove to work, what they watched on TV, what they talked about when they were at work, what they thought about as they sat alone, or what they entertained themselves with in their downtime. If we would consider Christ in those things, we would be far better off and Christ would be glorified. He would be. If we would just stop and look at ourselves in the mirror, we would just stop and think about our actions or decisions that we have to make and just consider Him. I mean, just two little words, consider Him. How it would revolutionize our lives. How it would make such a difference in what we do and how glorifying we are to God. Considering Christ also means considering the needs of others. Considering the needs of others in the Lord's house. And in the spreading of the gospel, considering the need of the gospel to go forth, to be preached unto all people. Considering the needs of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever they may be, to pray for them. To care for them when that is what is needed. And then thirdly and quickly tonight as we conclude, considering Christ's unrequited consideration. In order to consider Christ, we also need to give of our talent or of our resources. Go over to Matthew 25. Need to give of our talent or of our resources. Though we've touched upon the subject of service already, let us consider what we do with our resources. We could turn, first of all, to Malachi in chapter number 3 and talk about how that we are to tithe, we are to give, or to 1 Corinthians 16, to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Off the top, we are to give to the Lord 10% of everything He prospers us with. Everything we are to give unto the Lord. We're to bring it into the storehouse. That is a teaching that we have heard all of our lives, and this church has been very good at practicing over the years, but we must maintain it. It must be revisited in our hearts and in our minds, lest we be tempted to quit, or lest we be tempted to scale back or to stop in some measure. God blesses a church that is willing to tithe and give an offering on top of that tithe. And He has blessed this church over the course of time, I believe, because of that. This church is able to be debt-free, to own this building, to own the parsonage, to have the ability to support a pastor, what is pretty much a full-time wage for a pastor that has a normal-sized family. is able to pay all of the bills that the church has on a monthly basis and take care of some missionaries and do some good and all of that, are able to do that, and there's no earthly reason why we should be able to. No one's rich. No one has lots of money. But yet, because God's people faithfully give and tithe, God blesses. He's done that. And we need to continue. Every time we give a tithe unto the Lord, we're showing consideration to Christ for what He's done for us. We're not paying Him back, none of that. We're showing consideration in how we spend what He has given to us. We also need to be giving freely to the Lord of our many talents and our many abilities. We need to freely give. Notice here in Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 24. Jump in here to the parable of the talents. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hadst not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. He tells this man, you've done wrong. What did this man do? This man received what he had been given, and then he gave the very same thing back to the Lord. In some ways, we would look on this and say he was faithful. But for the time that he had that talent, he did not invest it in use in the Lord's work. So that the Lord did not benefit from his giving that talent to that man. There was nothing above, no percentage gained. Everyone in this room tonight has a talent God has given you. Some can sing. Sing. There ought to be a competition to come and play and sing before the Lord. Some can play instruments instead. Again, there ought to be competition to come and do that before the Lord for His honor and glory. There ought to be among those that can teach a desire, use me, a desire, place me, a desire to work. Sometimes the talent that you have is for prayer or for encouragement. Use it. God has called us to use it. Be considerate of Christ in the using of your talents. They have been given to us to use to glorify God. Let us not be selfish. Let us not hide them away. Let us not keep them locked inside. We ought to have a clamoring among God's people to serve the Lord to the point where I don't want to ignite or put anything out there that would make you think we want to build up pride. But there ought to almost be a competition amongst each other to outdo each other to the glory of God. Hope you get what I'm saying. An ability to outbless each other. The ability to outdo in that way. It ought not to have to be the same one or the same people doing the same thing all the time. But it ought to be a willingness in people's hearts. Consider Christ. Consider Christ. Christ considers us every minute of every day. I think it's Psalm 139 talks about His thoughts toward us and their magnitude. All His thoughts are toward us every day. And that ought to lead us to consider Christ. He gives us such great consideration. Let us return that to Him. Let it be said of others that Christ's consideration is unrequited, but let that not be said of us. Every one of us, from the pulpit to the pew, from the youngest to the oldest, we all can improve. We all can do better. We all can grow in our considering of Christ, in our devotion, in our time, and in our use of talents, in that which God has blessed us with and given us, our resources, all of that. Oh, how I pray tonight that God would use this message to get a hold of our hearts in connection with the thought this morning and really show us, really deliver unto us that ignition of passion, that zeal to be performing the things of Christ to His honor and His glory, and so that we are not being inconsiderate of Christ. We are not ignoring Him or what He's done. We are not doing those things that we normally do because that's what we've always done. But instead, let us be passionate about considering Christ with every part of our being, and our life will change. It'll change. It'll change how you make decisions, where you go, what you focus on. It'll change all of that if you just consider Christ. Let's stand. We'll have a verse of invitation.